Welcome to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show, an iHeartMedia broadcast. Our disclaimer says that the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those held by this radio station, its management staff, or any of its advertisers. My name is Laurent. I am the Texan from France, and I welcome back Walter Ulrich to the show. Walter Ulrich is the CEO of Medical Bridges. They're online at medicalbridges.org, medicalbridges.org. This is a truly fantastic organization that is providing a service that you don't know is necessary. Walter, welcome back. We enjoyed talking to each other back in May, so it's been a while. We really need to introduce this association, this nonprofit that you're leading to the audience, because what you're doing is monumental, and that's not some kind of allegory. You're literally talking about stacking medical materials and equipment to the point where they're mountain tall and send them to places in the country and the rest of the world where they're most needed. What's extraordinary is that all of the equipment that you send out as part of this charity is surplus. It's stuff that our hospitals and medical professionals don't throw away. This is brand new stuff that just doesn't get used. And I know I've completely oversimplified the functioning of your organization, but it's even going to give us an opportunity to talk about the supply chain, because you're right in the middle of it by literally shipping containers around the world. And Walter has a very interesting perspective on how it's happening again. When you hear the numbers, it's mind-boggling. But Walter, go ahead and tell us. Medical Bridges was founded by two women who went to South America and found out that if they wanted to operate on two patients, they needed to reuse their gloves and do other things like that, which are unthinkable in America.
It is amazing, Laurent. And first, let me thank you for having me back. Greatly enjoyed the last show.
Likewise.
Excited about moving forward with this show today. But yes, Patty Brock and Peggy Goetz went on a trip to El Salvador. And when they arrived to do their surgery, there were no gloves. And so they had to actually use the wrapping of the bread they had bought as gloves for their surgery. And so in 1997, when Patty came back to her hospital, she started collecting surplus material. I think they started with a couple of boxes UPS to the developing world. Since then, we have now served 90 developing countries, provided on a wholesale value, much over $100 million worth of good, high-quality medical equipment and supplies. In the U.S., over $500 billion worth of medical materials are discarded every year. At least $9 billion of that is good, high-quality stuff that could be used elsewhere in the world.
Did you say with an M or a B, the alien? Is it a million or billion that you're talking about?
I've been talking all billions.
Yeah,
these are billion dollars.
I want to make sure that, because I have to wrap my head around this. So over $500 billion of medical surplus. Is it accurate to describe this stuff as perfectly functioning, perfectly good, great quality, American grade type of medical equipment that is literally not used but thrown away?
Well, we know that at least $9 billion of that is in excellent condition. Think about here in Houston, Texas, if you go to the Texas Medical Center and they do a surgery on you, those doctors are going to put out every piece of surgical instruments they might use if your surgery even goes a little haywire. Three quarters of the time, it's routine. And so they use a third of it. The other two-thirds may still be in its packages, but it's been set out for your surgery and your surgeon and your team, and it doesn't make economic sense for them to try to re-inventory that some way, so they throw it in a box. And if it wasn't for Medical Bridges, that box would be thrown away.
And that's what used to happen.
It still happens in many cities around the world, or I should say around the United States, so it's happening every day, everywhere. The same is true with the equipment. Generally, the equipment we get isn't actually brand new, Laurent. What it actually is, it's been used for a year or two or maybe 3 years, But medical technology is just changing so rapidly that a piece of equipment 3 years old doesn't have this bell or this whistle or this specialty. So both the physicians and the hospitals and the patients want the latest stuff. Isn't that what we all want when we go to the doctor? So they have stuff that has a 10, 15, 20-year lifespan, and we pick it up so it doesn't get thrown away. Right now, we have anesthesia machines in our inventory. Finally, we now have some ventilators, because you can imagine 10 months ago, we couldn't get a ventilator. And now that we're getting control of COVID, we're starting to now get ventilators and oxygen concentrators.
Because the hospitals don't need them anymore, and they want to make space for other equipment.
That's exactly right. It's surplus.
Yeah. I think it's important to make sure that I want to make sure that I'm not characterizing this surplus as a total waste, because the way you explained it to us, how a surgeon will want to have a full panoply of the tools they might use, their preferred tools. You want your surgeon to have everything you need, obviously. Once you explain it to us, how the cost effectiveness of rewrapping that stuff or putting it back on the shelf, the hospitals are a business. It's an inevitable consequence of this prosperity in a way, and it's really surprising that there aren't more medical bridges, in my opinion, because what you're operating, and you're obviously able to do this based on donations and grants from, I'm assuming, mostly Texans, mostly Houstonians. This is a community effort here in Houston, right?
Yes. Houston is rated as one of the most philanthropic cities in the country. And so we're a beneficiary of that. We're a beneficiary of being in the city with the largest Texas medical center in the world, the Texas Medical Center, right? So we get all this surplus. We are also the beneficiary of being just a couple miles from the port of Houston, which is a very active port.
No kidding.
And even in these very difficult times where there are some problems, they're not nearly as bad as the Port of Los Angeles.
You have found that the hospitals are more than happy to be complicit with you, to put it that way. They're actually happy to box this surplus up.
Yeah, we have a professional driver and a box truck that was donated to us thanks to the Spirit Golf Foundation here in Houston. And we make the rounds of the medical center. We go to Austin a couple times a year to pick things up from Ascension. And if a doctor or a dentist is retiring and they want to dispose of their material, we pick it up from them as well. So we make it easy.
Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show. My name is Laurent, and my guest is Walter Ulrich. He is the CEO of Medical Bridges. They're online at medicalbridges.org, medicalbridges.org. This organization was formed in the mid-90s by a couple of women doctors, and I think that the enormity of this operation that you're at the head of is an example of that. For Medical Bridges to grab all this surplus and then to pack it up and send it off seems like a logistical nightmare to me. I mean, you have an entire staff to do this, to make it happen. And you have a huge warehouse where literally the stuff is piling up. And you mentioned a retiring dentist, for instance. So the kind of surplus material or recycled materials that you might be shipping are things like a dentist chair, right?
Oh, entire dental suites we sometimes will ship to places. Absolutely. Dental and sometimes furniture. I mean,
I'm thinking of the chair and all the cabinets that they need for their tools.
Absolutely. And the dental x-ray machine all becomes part of things that can be shipped.
A dental x-ray machine sounds like the kind of thing that you could sell back to the company. But as you mentioned just now, there's always something new coming out. So there's not much of a secondhand market for this stuff, is how I understand it.
Well, it kind of depends on the age
and
also the attitude of the individual. There are, you know, when something gets beyond a certain age that's still got good life left, but is not the kind of thing. What dentist who's retiring wants to worry about selling a 4-year-old dental x-ray machine, right? When we can just drive by and pick it up and it's out of their hair.
Yeah.
Many of the hospitals have the attitude that there's kind of a secondary market. We can store it. We can try and buy her. Maybe with all the effort involved, we can make 3 cents on the dollar or we can give it to Medical Bridges, which advances their mission as a hospital system to do good for people. Yeah. And so many of them don't even think anymore of going to the secondary market. They call on Medical Bridges, and it's a blessing for us, and it's a blessing for people who would otherwise have an illness or sickness that they would never recover from or perhaps even die.
Yeah, sometimes it's a difference between having the right tool or not. That's one of the harder concepts to bring into light and to reality, to think that someone's life could depend upon having, you know, just one tool that is readily available here in America.
It is both so sad and inspiring. I was in Pakistan in August and I visited a hospital.
Really?
And I was talking to a physician and he was telling me that a couple days beforehand, a two-day-old baby girl died for the lack of a relatively simple suction device that most pediatricians would have in their office.
You're demonstrating that, unfortunately, it's still just a drop in the bucket. There would need to be a Medical Bridges nonprofit organization in every large city in America. And by the way, isn't that something that is possible? Your program could be replicated, right?
Well, there are 7 organizations in the United States that meet the high standards that Medical Bridges meets. There's one in Atlanta. There's one in Philadelphia. The one in Atlanta has a remote location in California. So there's probably about 10 cities where there is something like a Medical Bridges. We all operate slightly differently.
Yeah.
But we all adhere to the highest standards of the utmost of respect and care for the people who are hosts for us where we deliver our medical equipment and supplies.
I just think that you're onto a program which is so useful to everyone involved because you're doing a favor to the hospital by taking this equipment off of their hands, to use that example again. Your Medical Bridges is essentially a circle of help. Every part of your operation is helpful to somebody, including the people you employ and who make a living doing this. That's probably maybe the best position to be in, to be able to do something that you can feel so good about. So there's no doubt about how good what you're doing is.
I love coming to work every day. I am, in spite of the challenges, I come in joyful every day because all of us, my colleagues, are making a difference. But it's a web. It's a huge web. As you say, we're doing a benefit to the hospital systems, but we are so grateful to the hospital systems. We're doing a benefit for people who want to do something during COVID-19 to help the world, but we're so grateful for those donors. We have volunteers because, remember, I said the hospitals doesn't make economic sense for them to somehow repurpose it. The only reason it makes economic sense for us is we have volunteers that come and help us out. Today, we had a coach and 3 kids from St. Thomas High School. Last week, we had the Astros volunteers. They come just about every week. We've had the Junior League. We've had Chevron and Halliburton volunteers. So they come in at no cost to us, and they have that sense that they are reaching across the seas with what they touch to let a healthcare superhero somewhere else help somebody else. And so we're grateful for them. Every step along the chain, we have gratefulness, and the gratefulness is returned.
Yeah. Well, and the idea that you can see what your impact is, it's almost so visual. You can imagine these shipping containers full of this life-saving equipment arriving and people receiving it and sharing the information. You said that you have a bunch of volunteers that come in. They come in and help you wrap the equipment and box it up and prepare it for shipment. Is that right?
Exactly right. It's if anybody's ever helped sort at the food bank,
yeah,
it's exactly the same thing. We need people to come. We help them identify what it is, package it, make sure it's... if it's supposed to be sterile, that the package is not been opened, and then box it up. And because it doesn't matter how much we get, the volunteers don't help us to package it. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then it ends up in our inventory for shipment to where the need is greatest.
But you obviously have very high standards for this kind of, you have to pack it carefully. As you mentioned, having some of this equipment hermetically sealed so that it is not contaminated in any way. Does that mean you have to train your volunteers?
We have to supervise our volunteers.
Okay.
You know, people have pretty good common sense
sure.
when it comes to medical stuff. And so they get a little...
Well, actually, I don't know about that.
They get a little bit of the...
I think COVID has shown us maybe that people don't have no sense whatsoever. Sorry, I couldn't resist mentioning that. I might disagree with that assessment. But the people who are volunteering, obviously, it makes sense that they would be.
Well, and, you know, and Medical Bridges has operated continuously through the pandemic. And so we have to follow, regardless of our political leanings, we have to follow the highest
sure.
standards for protection.
Well, it's not political.
And so we do require all our staff and our volunteers to be vaccinated now. We required mask wearing before the vaccinations became commonplace. Nobody has brought COVID into the workplace. Imagine if that happens with a small nonprofit.
Yeah.
We have to shut down, which means stuff doesn't get sorted, it doesn't get packaged, equipment doesn't get diagnosed and checked by our biomedical technician, it doesn't go into container. That means we're killing somebody overseas because they're not getting what they need. So we have to meet the highest possible standards in every respect.
Yeah, and I don't think that at this level it's not political at all. I think that we do have a pretty good sense, medically speaking, that when it comes to hospitals and medical equipment and everything, utmost care. That's where we really want to be very, very careful. You are listening to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show. My name is Laurent, and my guest today is Walter Ulrich. He is the CEO of Medical Bridges. They're online at medicalbridges.org, medicalbridges.org. I talk about how small donations are important and that nobody should ever feel bad for not being able to donate $5,000 to a nonprofit organization. Not a lot of people can do that. But maybe you can donate a few dollars. It doesn't matter what the amount is. Do it if you feel like it, because we're a community and we're literally talking about thousands of people having this idea. And Walter, you must have spent some time thinking about this. You're calling for people to volunteer and to donate to Medical Bridges. You ever think about how often people are sitting around thinking about how I could donate $5 and then just don't do it and all that lost money, like all the potential donations? And I think some of it is partly because people might be embarrassed or they just feel like it's just a drop in the bucket. It really, really, it matters. And if it is just a drop in the bucket, we have a bunch of buckets to fill. So drop it in. Medicalbridges.org.
Yes.
You're experiencing some massive problems with our supply chain blocks that we are currently, I guess I'm hoping we're at the end of the pandemic, but it looks like the end is going to be long. This is a 3.5-hour Return of the King, Lord of the Rings kind of movie. It just keeps on going, and then you think it's over, and then it starts up again, and then you think it's over and again. But you're literally in a situation where the cost of shipping something, both in money and time, has exploded.
It has been dramatic, and it has been painful. We used to be able to ship a container. Now, a typical 40-foot container this year has about $225,000 worth of value of medical materials and supplies sent to a country where sometimes that's not available at any price, right?
Yeah.
It used to cost us $3,500 to $4,000. Now it's $6,500 to $10,000. That's a huge impact on the cost. We used to be able to get it there in most cases 3.5 to 4 weeks. Now it's not uncommon to be 10 weeks and can be even longer. And right now we're trying to get a clinic in a box, totally outfit, 40-foot clinic in a box, complete, fully equipped into the earthquake zone of Haiti, and we can't get a shipping spot because a lot of the big ships that might be running that thing are now doing cross-Atlantic or cross-Pacific things because it's more profitable for them. So Medical Bridges, which has intended to do more containers than we did last year, will probably do 5 or 6 containers less than we did last year, simply because of the difficulty of shipping and logistics, culminating with problems on the ground in developing countries. This COVID situation, which, yes, I think it is actually subsiding here and will be better in the U.S. over the next few months.
I hope so.
But in other parts of the world, it continues to be devastating. There's no solution in sight. There are economies which have collapsed and won't return to the 2019 levels to 2024, 2025, are dealing with more medical needs than they've ever had and less money to deal with them. What Houston's generosity does, working with Medical Bridges and like organizations in other major cities around the world, truly is life-saving. And this shipping and logistics problem is causing people to die.
That, and it's literally an example of how these shutdowns, and I'm not commenting on their necessity or effectiveness. I'm talking about one of the consequences of the shutdowns, which have happened all over the world, is literally people dying. There has been some rhetoric and some, you know, a lot of hyperbole over this because of the political nature of the subject. And one of the most grandiose claims is that, well, the shutdowns kill people, and then people will argue whether or not that's true and how it's true. You've just demonstrated that it is directly true. You're literally unable to save someone's life, whereas if today was 2 years ago, you likely would have been able to save their lives just by force of being able to ship this medical clinic you mentioned, this 40-foot medical clinic. And I'd like, we'll spend a minute describing that because this sounds awesome. But you're describing the gravity of the situation here.
Here's the difference. When Dorian hit the Bahamas in 2019.
I remember that, yeah.
We didn't even think about shipping issues. We put together two clinics in a box and three containers chock-filled of medical supplies. And we called up our shipping people and they shipped it. The earthquake in Haiti took place, what, middle of August?
Yep.
We were ready the middle of September to ship one container, this clinic, this amazing clinic in the box, right? And it's still sitting in our yard and hasn't been shipped yet. And we don't know when we're going to get a slot to ship it. It's a huge difference.
And it speaks to the enormity of the problem. You obviously have contacts in the shipping business. I know that you have some, I'll call them high-powered volunteers, people that work alongside Medical Bridges that are movers and shakers in Houston. They can make something happen by picking up the phone. And for this to be completely stuck as it is, is pretty scary, actually.
And a lot of it has to do with the fact that people, since they're asking for more stuff, which means that has been a big contributor to the shipping problem, is, you know, at every point along the way, including road transportation.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not ready for this change in lifestyle that was forced upon us by this virus. It's a calamity. Let's finish the show on something really positive. You're describing this medical clinic in a box, which sounds miraculous to me, but I have an idea of how real it is and how cool it is. Can you describe to us a little bit what it looks like and what it contains? Like, what does it do once you deliver it? It's a box full of chairs and equipment?
Think about this. You walk up to what looks like a shipping container, but very— very nicely painted on the outside. You shrug, and then you open those big metal doors, creak, 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 right? And you see a generator and an air conditioner, and you see another set of doors. Now, these look like doors to a doctor's office. You open that door and you walk inside, and there's a beautiful mural on one side. There's all kinds of cabinetry on the other side. There's curtains. There's lights. There's also fans to complement the air conditioning, right? And these wonderful Texas Aggie medical clinics are made by Texas A&M students.
Yeah?
It's all student done because it costs more for them to buy the container. They can only send four this year, right? But you go inside this beautiful thing, and then we put in exam tables and the medical equipment, the PPE and everything they need. And then that can be shipped somewhere where they don't even have a building.
So what an example. Can you give us an example of where one of these clinics is standing right now in a place where there's no other building? You operate all over the world.
We operate in 90 countries. And I mentioned earlier the Bahamas.
Yeah.
After Dorian hit, there were places that just wiped out the buildings, and so two are still actually in the Bahamas. Those will probably be returned at some point. We had one. We have one ready to go to Haiti for the earthquake area of Haiti. We've sent two to Romania. Are getting ready to be sent to Romania. We sent one to Honduras. We've got one in Nigeria. You know, it's they're just amazing. You know, Laurent, you can tell I'm not often speechless.
That's good for radio, though. I'm happy to see you here.
but for the very first time, I saw one and I opened the door. I was literally speechless. Any of your listeners that want to come by Medical Bridges and see one, we have the one for Haiti in our yard right now. They'd be welcome to come by.
It sounds like one of those Transformer things, right?
Yes.
The truck pulls up and the truck unfolds, and it becomes the epicenter of a community to provide a medical help. These students at Texas A&M buy the empty container and outfit it, prepare it for you, and then once you receive it here in Houston, you complete the process by essentially furnishing it and putting in all the equipment that you would need. Now, what kind of equipment are we talking about?
Well, think about what would typically be in a doctor's office, right? There would be exam tables. There would be some medical instruments. There'd be stethoscopes. There'd be things to do blood pressure cuffs, right? There might be a microscope and a couple of issues for checking out blood. We did do one, however, that was designed as a dental clinic. We did another one that was designed for eye doctors. So, it's not big enough to be an operating room, but any kind of doctor clinic where you'd visit for anything, a woman's clinic, you could easily do one for that.
Yeah. And then people can just line up and come in and profit from this generosity.
The generosity of Houstonians and Texans.
Yeah, and all these business people who are often maligned. Listen, when you park at the hospital and you pay $20 for parking, it's normal to be mad at them. They have every right to do that. But the ingenuity of our economic engine, like we're... My show, I'm proud of the fact that my show is a constant reminder that a lot of these big corporations donate a lot of money, and they donate a lot of sweat, of elbow grease to nonprofits. When like-minded people come together to do something to help somebody else, it sort of sets a fire. I mean, these two women we've been talking about who in the mid-90s formed Medical Bridges, this is a massive operation now. Y'all are dealing in millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of equipment and saving dozens and dozens of lives, if not hundreds or thousands. And by now, we're certainly talking about tens of thousands by now.
Oh, when I think about one container, if you put 30,000 gloves as a couple of boxes of one of the 20 pallets in a container, and the number of people you save from infection and things like that, the numbers may well be in the millions by now.
Yeah, you can't count it.
Way to measure it.
Yeah.
But the numbers are huge. And one of our Chevron is very interested in helping people in countries where they're resident. And we had one project with them last year where we sent about $1 million worth of material to a province of Angola where the only objective was to keep mommies and babies alive for 4 weeks. The maternal and infant mortality rates in this province are astronomical. And if you can keep the mommies and babies alive for 4 weeks, you enhance amazingly their survivability. And I think of my own grandson, right?
Yeah.
You know, he was a preemie. Thank God he was born here, right?
Technology kept him alive for a few
technology
weeks.
Technology kept, and now he's this amazing 11-year-old I love being with this young man. But, without something like a Medical Bridges in Angola, he might have not have survived the first three days.
You mentioned that there's no way to measure how many people that Medical Bridges has helped. But as you know, and people who volunteer know this too, there's a way for the human heart to measure that sort of thing. It is actually measurable. You can sort of get a sense of what it is, but mostly it feels good and you know that you're doing something that is directly affecting people in the best way. And like I said, donating a few dollars will make a difference. medicalbridges.org. Folks, if you have any questions related to Houston, PA, just send me an email. texanfromfrance@gmail.com. texanfromfrance@gmail.com. You can expect to get an answer. I'm happy to just send you a web link, anything you need. And I want to thank you for listening and caring about the issues I put on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, I will see you next week at the same time. My name is Laurent. I am the Texan from France and a proud Houstonian. And this has been Houston, PA, Houston's public affairs show, Houston Strong.